Road course racing. Man, I really enjoyed that. I don't know why, but in the last few years, I've really come to enjoy the road course racing, and boy, every moment at Sonoma was fun to watch. So that was great, but of course, then we had to end it off with we're going back to the Coliseum. Yeah, that's not so much fun. So let's talk about it in the podcast. Let's go! Pace Car Podcast is created by the Combustion Gamer YouTube channel and exclusively put onto TCG Podcast for all listening platforms. Thank you. Alrighty, everyone, welcome back to the Pace Car Podcast, and today we're talking about Sonoma Road Course Racing. And man, that was a really good race. I have really enjoyed the road courses so far this year. I've enjoyed them last year as well. But yeah, something about the road courses I'm really, really enjoying. So what's going to be interesting to see is, can the good racing that we saw at COTA, can the good racing we saw at Sonoma transfer over to the Indy Road Course, which that will be a miracle if it does, but it'll be interesting to see if it does. Road America should be interesting to watch, but then Watkins Glen. That one's going to be fun. I can't wait for Watkins Glen. That is by far my favorite road course currently on the schedule. And that one's going to be fun to watch. I'm really going to be interested to see how the car does there. Fast track, very technical. Love it. Love that track. So that's going to be interesting to see. Would love to see how the next gen car would do on the Daytona road course, though. Sonoma also was greatly improved. They changed it up so we didn't have the carousel, making it a bit of a shorter track, a little bit less winding through the dirt hill, so made it a little bit quicker, a little bit faster of a race. Nice little fast-paced racing. That's always good on a road course. But also, Tony Stewart made a really good point during the Fox broadcast. We saw with the next-gen car side-by-side racing at Sonoma. That's very true. You don't see side-by-side racing at Sonoma in the last few years that I've watched the race. And having side-by-side racing at Sonoma truly helped the racing product and made it look really, really good. And made the different drivers and different teams look competitive. And that was certainly fun to watch. You also had, of course, the different teams that broke out and really showed that they had something at the road courses. RFK, two top tens, competing for the win at Sonoma. I did not see that coming. The ovals, I knew that they had been fairly good, had some pretty good speed. The intermediates, they've been getting some good speed on those. Good speed at Super Speedways, obviously, as well. But Chris Buescher coming back off of a flip and then a week off, and now he's back and competing for the win at the end. That was really cool to see for RFK. Definitely congrats to all of those guys. That was great racing from all of those guys. Even Brad Keselowski getting top 10. Looked good. Looked really, really good. And then Michael McDowell, obviously up there, road course racer, up there in the top 3 and 4. So really good job by him, but that was amazing to see those guys running up there. So overall, very excited about that racing. We'll get into the finishing results, the stages, and what happened during the races for the Truck Series and the Cup Series in a moment. But first, let's talk about the two top stories of this week, in my mind at least, anyway. So we had Martin Truex Jr., obviously a few weeks back, is looking at obviously this season, looking at whether or not he will continue his season or retire at the end of the season. Obviously he could continue on, get the contract signed, has sponsorship, so that's not really much of an issue with Joe Gibbs Racing, but has been looking at personal issues as something to consider, so potentially looking at retirement. And so has had several statements throughout the season so far where he said he was close to knowing what his plans were, and it seems like it just kind of gets pushed off a little bit each time. And so what's going on? What's likely to happen? Well, at Sonoma, it sounds like he is very close to saying goodbye to the NASCAR garage for good. It definitely sounded like
he was kind of giving a farewell almost to the team and to all of the sponsors that had worked so hard with him in the last few years. So not totally sure if that decision is made, but as each time we kind of hear from Martin Truex Jr., it sounds like he is closer and closer to the decision to just step away from the sport for good. And so we'll have to see how that works. Definitely a very good race car driver, doing very well in the points this season, even with a car he wasn't very excited about. So definitely a good performance job by him this year in a new car that he himself wasn't totally thrilled about getting into. So good job by him all around this year. So we'll have to see what he does. But that leads into an interesting question of who gets the number 19 car if Martin Truex Jr. does leave. Does I think one theory that's out there is that does Joe Gibbs step back and it'll go to just a three car team and then leases its charter or sells its charter until Ty Gibbs is ready to come up in probably about a year's time, a season's time after next season, to the Cup Series. So is that what they would do? Well, that's actually not a bad idea that I just came up with on the spur of the moment, and that would make sense. Be able to lease it, get some money from that charter while you don't have anybody racing it. Then, as soon as Ty Gibbs gets there, have him take over the spot. So, I mean, that one doesn't make terrible sense. But honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know what kind of driver would step in, whether it be from Xfinity or someone currently in the Cup Series or someone who isn't in the Cup Series currently. I'm not totally sure who you'd get to fill that spot. One name that would be John Hunter Nemechek. That might be one guy that could potentially fill that role. Definitely has some Cup experience, has been doing fairly well in trucks and in the Toyota family, so Kyle Busch could say, hey, let's tap him, get him up here. Don't know. So that's one particular theory that I have, but we'll have to wait and see who gets the number 19 if Martin Truex Jr. does in fact leave the sport at the end of this season. So we'll have to see how that all goes. And then, unfortunately, also at Sonoma, we got the news that we will be going back to the LA Clash. Yahoo. Yep, wasn't my type of racing, I'm afraid. Not watch the replays, watch the clips, and yep, there's no passing. If whoever was started on the lead ended in the lead. And whoever, basically, if I remember correctly, and I said this probably in my other episode, those who started in the top five finished in the top five, and like one person moved a spot in the top five. It's like the racing never changed. Nobody could really vie for position in the front. It's just as soon as you're out in the front, you're done. You're gonna win the race at the end, and so that wasn't interesting. That is not interesting racing. That's not good racing. There should be an ability, pitch strategy, and otherwise to be able to mix things up, to be able to show truly who is the best team in NASCAR and not just a race amongst the drivers. And so, to me, it doesn't make sense to be going back to the LA Coliseum. To me, it would make better sense to put the money that you're going to put towards this event, because obviously NASCAR put a lot of money into it, had to get permits, etc., not only just to build the track and set up the stadium, etc. But it makes a lot of sense to me just to put that money into short tracks around the country to be do something similar, but also be able to incorporate pit stops and to help not only the local economy of those short tracks and to build up the race base at those near those tracks, at those tracks, but to be able to get it back to the grassroots of racing. So I would rather see them go to the short tracks. Like, hey, I mean, think about this. New Smyrna Speedway, that's a local track fairly close to where I live. I've seen racing there. It's a lot of fun. You have a pit road, so you could have the haulers pull into the lot, put the tea, all the money from the tickets, from the all the stuff that NASCAR is going to put into the track to update it, so it looks good on TV, so it looks good to the people coming. Could help help that track financially a lot, and also help the local economy around the track. I'm sure there's multiple other short tracks around the country that I haven't even thought of, don't even know about, that would be great tracks for this type of event. And so I think that going forward should be what exhibition races should be. It's like, hey, maybe, and by the way, not saying that you have to have a full 40-car field. I'm not saying that. But be able to have a track where actual racing can happen, but not a track that is so small that nobody moves in position. That's not fun racing. That's not enjoyable to watch a race where no one is moving. So, once again, bad. Honestly, in my opinion, bad decision by NASCAR. I mean, you had one time success with it. If you get success twice, then maybe you're onto something. I don't know. To me, as a racing fan, it doesn't make any sense to do that. But hey, maybe if the ratings are there, the tickets are there, then maybe it's a financially good decision. I don't totally know on that. But I would prefer to see it local racing, more of that going to the local racing arena than anything else. That's my own opinion. So we'll see what the second crowd does at the Day Clash, see how that goes. But yeah, I probably will not be taking time out of my schedule to watch it again, just because I didn't see anything good about the racing product overall. So that's my thought on that. I'm definitely not against moving the tracks around. I don't say I wish the Clash was back at Daytona, but I also think that, hey, you have an idea to be able to move it to the different tracks around the country. I think that would be a better idea overall than putting it back at Daytona where you weren't overly having the good ratings. But, hey, I don't know. My own thoughts as a race fan, put it at the local tracks, but NASCAR's got to do what they got to do, I guess. So, anyways, guys, we'll see how that goes. We'll see what the ratings in the fans up, and we'll definitely talk about it when it comes around again next year. Alrighty, guys, so let's get into the Truck Series race at Sonoma. Kyle Busch. Yeah, it was a Cup Series nightmare for some of these guys. It was rather crazy. There was a lot of different Cup guys in there. You had Alex Bowman, who ended up not finishing the race, but still, he was in there. You had Kaz Grala jump in there, so, I mean, you had him. You had Harrison Burton in there for some reason. I'm not totally sure how he got in there. You also had Ross Chastain in there once again. You had Ross Chastain in there again. You had Daniel Suarez obviously finishing for Carson Hocevar due to his injury, and then Kyle Busch in there as well. So there's like Cup guys everywhere. So it really kind of messed up the field to some extent. A little bit too much saturation of Cup drivers, in my opinion. But still, overall, good racing from the Truck Series. Enjoyed it. And it was definitely interesting to watch. So, talking about Carson Hocevar, obviously had that injury at WWT and ended up being able to qualify his truck and put it on the pole after he wrecked it. So, wrecked the truck, got the pole, but yeah, so had to start in the back. So, had to work his way through the back for a little bit. Daniel Suarez switched out with him, so obviously Carson Hocevar could get the points for the race, etc. But took about two laps for Daniel Suarez to be able to switch in, get everything hooked up and everything put together. And so that put him two laps down, but able to come back and finish in sixth in that number 42 East Motorsports car. So that was definitely an interesting story to follow throughout the race, and definitely a good job by Daniel Suarez and Carson Hocevar together to be able to get that feat done. So good job by those guys. In Stage 1, though, it was Ty Majeski, Tyler Ankrum, John Hunter Nemechek, Grant Infinger, Parker Kligerman, Matt DiBenedetto, Derek Kraus, Zane Smith, Austin Dillon, and, yes, Haley Deegan, who got the top 10 in Stage 1. So Haley Deegan actually collected points. Haley Deegan started in the top 10 for this race, able to hold on to that for the stage end, and able to collect points due to that. So good job to her. Definitely one of her better efforts so far this season. In Stage 2, we had Ben Rhodes get the stage win, with Chandler Smith, Chase Purdy, Kaz Galala, Carson Hocevar, Daniel Suarez, obviously, Austin Dillon, Timmy Hill, Dean Thompson, Haley Deegan, and Todd Bodine collect points in the top 10 for Stage 2. So once again, Haley Deegan collecting those points, and obviously Austin Dillon up there messing things up for some of the drivers, but you had Carson Hocevar able to get points with Daniel Suarez able to get him up there into the top 10 for Stage 2. A pretty scary crash that included Stuart Friesen and Josh Palicki and Alex Bowman. So fairly fiery crash there. Luckily everyone was okay, so that was nice to see. And Haley Deegan not able to finish the race. I'm not totally sure what happened. It looked like she got into the wall on the straight going to turn 1. But I don't remember exactly how it happened, but truck was just totally beat up, did not end up finishing the race, so had a good run until the end, and then of course, obviously had a DNF at the end, so not helpful for her season so far. We'll have to see how she does. She's in good equipment, definitely has not really shown it though, so we will have to see if she can get into the playoffs. It's not really looking like it, like she's going to get there anytime soon, so we'll have to wait and see, but definitely not one of her better years so far. In the end of the race, so Kyle Busch able to get the win in not so dominant fashion, although at the end he was able to drive away, able to do it fairly decently. But Kyle Busch not very dominant in this race, but at the end able to get the truck where he needed it and able to collect that win with the Yahoo number 51, so good job to him. Zane Smith able to come up second, Ty Majeski in third, Ross Chastain able to get fourth, Chandler Smith in 5th, and Carson Hocevar in 6th, so both of those Nice cars up there in the top 10. Pekka Kligerman, John Hunter, Nemechek, and Tyler Ankrum able to get in there as well. And then Matt Benedetto got points in Stage 1, did not get points in Stage 2, but able to come back and get stage points in the end, in the end of the race. So Matt Benedetto's truck looked good. Had pretty good qualifying as well, but not able, once again, to get anywhere close to a win. But still, top 10, great job of those guys. Hope to see better results from them later on here in the season. So we're going to have to see how he does on dirt. That's right, Knoxville is coming up, so that's going to be interesting to see how he does on dirt. That's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to watch that. Grant Infinger gets 11th, Harrison Burton in 12th, Tanner Gray in 13th, Kaz Grala 14th, Chase Petty 15th, you had Jack Wood, Austin Dillon, Ben Rhodes, Colby Howard, Todd Bodine, Blaine Perkins, Brad Perez, Spencer Boyd, Dean Thompson, Lawless Allen, Chris Wright, Derek Krause, Timmy Hill are the drivers that round out the 28 drivers that finished the race. Alex Bowman, Josh Palicki, Stuart Friesen, Haley Deegan, Jade Buford, Matt Crafton, Christian Eckes, and Stefan Parsons all had DNFs, so did not finish the race due to other issues. Moving on over to the Cup Series, guys. We had, starting off on pole, Kyle Larson able to get the pole. Chase Elliott started off in second. Kurt Busch started off in third with Michael McDowell in fourth. So, I mean, right there, dominant day from Kurt Busch and Michael McDowell, not only qualifying. And so that is how they rolled off the grid. So good job to those guys. In Stage 1, it was the Kyle Larson show with Joey Logano finishing a very far second, Kyle Busch in third, Justin Haley fourth, Eric Almirola in fifth, Harrison Burton in sixth, Josh Palicki in seventh, Kurt Busch in eighth, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in ninth, and Cody Ware able to get his first top 10 stage finish of the season. So that point was almost immediately taken away by a 20-point penalty at the end of the race. So not a good day for Cody Ware or RF for Cody Ware, Rick Ware Racing. So that wasn't a good finish for him. So not totally sure what happened there. They had issues going through tech, but at the end of the race, 20 points taken away. Ouch. Very, very sore on that one. In stage two, though, we saw Joey Logano, Eric Almirola, Chris Buescher, Daniel Suarez, Kevin Harvick, Todd Gilliland, Harrison Burton, Michael McDowell, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Ryan Blaney collect the points in stage two, with Brad Keselowski in a close 11th trying to get that point as well, but didn't quite get there. So good job by those guys. Also, we had finishing Eric Jones in 18th, the closest he got to a top 10 throughout the race. So unfortunate day for Eric Jones and Ty Dillon. Did not have the speed, did not have the setup, it appeared, to really compete in the race, but rather unfortunate. So we'll have to see how they do in Nashville. So Nashville's going to be interesting. It's the second race on concrete with the next gen car. So I'm going to be interested to see how it does. Obviously, we saw a lot of issues with the tires, a lot of issues with wheels. And so how is this second concrete track going to work on the tires? Obviously, tire debacle continued to plague the Cup Series when they were at Dover. So it's going to be interesting to see how the debacle goes over at Nashville. And so it's going to be interesting to see how those tires wear. Not too many issues with the tires at Sonoma, although there was some quoting of the things that were reported, so not necessarily what the teams wanted to see, but luckily nobody had many tire issues. Luckily, only main issue was Kyle Larson in stage 3 having the issue with the tire leaving his car. So unfortunate there once again. So that's going to be Cliff Daniels is going to be gone, and two other crew members is going to be off for about 4 weeks. So that's an unfortunate penalty for Kyle Larson, but honestly, it probably couldn't come at a better time. Definitely don't want it to come during the playoffs. So that's going to be interesting to see how Kyle Larson, I'm not even sure who they're going to get be the crew chiefs. That would be interesting, but we'll have to see how Larson's performance goes for the next 4 races after that issue. Also, going on the tires before we get to the final finishing result, I forgot about this. We did have multiple teams have issues with the rear left tires. For some reason, those lug nuts were not going on all the way. Multiple teams had to back up and have those tires looked at once again. So that was definitely an issue that seems to have been happening throughout the season as well, but really showed its head at Sonoma. So not totally sure what's going on there. One theory that I would say that wouldn't be the tires necessarily would be the air pressure in the air guns might be an issue there. After doing a tire previously, depending on what temperatures are, that could be an issue, maybe. But honestly, more than likely, it's just the lug nut and the wheel being cantankerous and problematic as they've been throughout the season. So, once again, NASCAR, how about we go back to 5 lug nuts? Yeah! Anyways, guys, back to Daniel Suarez, who gets the win. Good job for him and Trackhouse. They had a pretty good race all throughout. Weren't really showing up too much. Had good speed. Both Trackhouse cars had good speed for the first 2 stages. But then, obviously, Daniel Suarez, once he got the lead, kept the lead, and really got the win over Chris Buescher in the end as his car just continued to go really fast. Chris Buescher's car slowly faded. So, good job to him. Chris Buescher, though, has to be applauded. One of the best races I've seen from an RFK car in years. It was beautiful to see, and beautiful to see the car run so well. Honestly, the only other race I think that probably ran that good was Ryan Newman at Bristol Dirt. I forgot about that one. That was a really good race by RFK with Bristol Dirt. Ryan Newman able to get very close to a win there, so that was a good race by him. What a way, he's not in the Cup Series anymore. Anyways, Michael McDowell able to get 3rd, great run by him and Front Row Motorsports. Kevin Harvick able to get 4th, obviously he had some pit issues that sent him farther down, although he was possibly a car that could have gone after Suarez and possibly gotten the win in the end, but due to that pit issue that sent him further back in the field, ends up 4th. Austin Cindric, Ryan Blaney, the 2 Penske cars get 5th and 6th. Ross Chastain in 7th, and you have Chase Elliott, William Byron getting 8th and 9th there, and Brad Keselowski able to get that final point, final position in the end of the race in 10th. Yet Austin Dillon, Justin Haley, Chase Briscoe, Eric Amarola, Kyle Lawson, Alex Bowman, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, who, by the way, Kurt Busch is the highest finishing Toyota of the race. Toyota did not show up in this race at all. They were not non-existent in the race at Sonoma. AJ Allmendinger, even though having a spin, still finishes in the 19th position. And Joey Hand in the number 15 car, able to finish 20th. So good job by him. Cole Custer, Eric Jones, Ty Dillon, Todd Gilliland, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Montreux Jr., Christopher Bell, Harrison Burton, Josh Palicki, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Cody Ware, and Scott Heckert, along with Corey LaJoie and Taylor Reddick, are the cars that finished the race. Only one DNF, and that was due to Bubba Wallace over-revving his engine, more than likely, or just plain engine failure for some reason, obviously. So, only caution of the day, or, yeah, I think that was. Anyways, the first caution of the day due to an incident was Bubba Wallace when his engine blew up, causing a large amount of smoke, and just ended his day in the DoorDash car for the DoorDash race. So that was interesting, the DoorDash car not being able to finish the DoorDash race, so that was interesting. But anyways, that is the finishing positions. Good job by Daniel Suarez, also having his unique victory celebration of smashing the piñata taco. That's a good one. I like that. That was pretty good. Alrighty, guys, so let's get into the point standings here. But before we do that, remember, guys, this Saturday is the start of the SRX. That was going to be on CBS, so make sure you check out that racing. Going to be going on at the same time as the Truck Series. A bit of a conflict there for some of us. But don't worry, I'm definitely going to be watching the SRX. Got to see Ryan Newman race. Got to see him. Anyway, so that's going to be fun to see as we get 6 straight weeks of SRX racing on CBS on Saturdays at 8 p.m. So make sure you check that out, because I think the racing is going to be pretty good. So that's going to be fun. So make sure you guys check that out. And that is going to be fun. Fun. Can't wait. Anyways, guys, going on into the playoff standings for the Truck Series. Zane Smith continues to lead Ben Rhodes, Chandler Smith, John Hunter Nemechek, Sturt Friesen, Ty Majeski, Christian Eckes. Those are the guys in the top 7. Carson Hosefall able to get the race done, obviously started the race, able to get Daniel Suarez to fill in for him. He currently sits in 8th position with 374 points. You had Grant Enfinger in 23rd, Grant Enfinger in 9th with 344, and Matt Crafton is the guy on the bubble with 320 points. He's fairly comfortably there, though. The next driver is Tanner Gray with 287 points, so it's going to be kind of hard for him to put his way in unless Matt Crafton had a really bad race. That's going to be interesting to watch. But Matt Benedetto sitting there in 12th. If he can keep his point races like he has the last few races, he might be able to do it. So definitely rooting for him. Hopefully he can get moving there. Derek Krause sits in 13th. Tyler Ingram in 14th. Chase Purdy in 15th. You have Timmy Hill and Colby Howard in 17th and 19th. You have Ryan Preece, Corey Heim, Austin Wayne Self. Those guys have been in and out throughout the season. Lawless Allen, Jack Wood, Dean Thompson, and Haley Deegan. They round out the 22 to the 25th position. You also have Spencer Boyd 27th, Chris Wright 29th, Blaine Perkins in 30th, etc., 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 throughout the field. There have been 63 starters in the NASCAR Truck Series. That's a lot of drivers. So, but that's your current playoff point rundown in the Truck Series there. Moving over to the Cups, Ross Chastain continues to lead the field when it comes to the point standings. But when we go and look at who's leading the points overall, Chase Elliott is currently the one leading and could get the regular season championship. We'll have to see how that plays out. But right now, Ross Chastain leads the playoff field with Chase Elliott in second, Joey Logano in third, William Byron in fourth, Kyle Busch in fifth, Denny Hamlin in sixth, though he sits 21st in points. Denny Hamlin is not having a good year still. He has three. So here we go. Kyle Busch, who is sitting fifth in the playoff playoff berth has 513 points compared to Denny Hamlin's 325 points. That's pretty bad. Anyways, Kyle Larson sits in 7th, Ryan Blaney in 8th, Alex Bowman in 9th, Martin Truex Jr. in 10th, Kurt Busch in 11th, Daniel Suarez moves into the 12th place finish. You have Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric, and 2 places in the playoffs are left. Christopher Bell and Eric Almirola currently sit there with 444 points and 423 points. The driver right outside the bubble is Kevin Harvick. Tyler Reddick sits out there very close. And you then have Austin Dillon, Eric Jones, Michael McDowell, Justin Haley, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And perhaps Bubba Wallace are the closest drivers knocking on that door. That is fascinating. Moving on from there, though, we have Ty Dillon starting in the 26th position, Cole Custer, Harrison Burton, Todd Gilliland, Brad Keselowski continues to sit in 30th. Chris Buescher has moved down the pole for some reason, but he sits in 22nd place. I'm not sure why he's so far down list-wise. That's kind of weird. And Corey LaJoie in 31st and Cody Ware in 32nd with BJ McLeod in 33rd. But this playoff grid, that's going to be changing throughout, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that changes. But regular season championship, that's a very close race between Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, and Kyle Busch, and even Ryan Blaney in there too. So very close race between those four guys. Joey Logano might be fairly close in there as well. He's a little bit behind. So all five of those top five guys. Fairly close race going on there, so good win or a good race or a bad race from somebody could really switch that up. So 2 Chevys, 1 Toyota, and 2 Fords in the top 5 of the playoffs. So that's interesting to note. Alrighty, guys, so that is really about it that we have for today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode. Whew, this has been a lot of talking, but there's a lot to talk about. So anyways, hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode, and make sure you guys check out the SRX, as there's not going to be Cup racing this week, although there will be F1 racing, so that will be interesting. We got the Canadian Grand Prix going on, so that might be interesting to check out if you're missing some racing action. So anyways, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll be talking to you guys here next time on the Pace Car Podcast. Bye-bye.